If you've been tuning into our podcast on the regular, there's one word you're probably hearing come up a lot.
Community.
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 Almost every guest we've had on the show has brought up the importance of finding and connecting with your creative community.
It's not really something that's taught in schools, but we get a lot of questions from our content creators about networking, making contacts, and community building.
So, open up your Rolodex.
Cam, no one uses a Rolodex anymore. And I'm pretty sure that most of our listeners don't even know what a Rolodex is.
Okay, maybe dated myself a little bit. Fine. Okay, how about let's open up your contacts on your phone.
That's better.
And let's make some connections.
Welcome to First Frame, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And we're here to help empower new and emerging Canadian content creators by answering their most pressing questions, sharing diverse success stories, and getting insights from people who have been down this path before.
On every episode, we unpack the journey of a leading Canadian creator or creators, all the way from inception to completion. We'll hear about their wins and their challenges, and ultimately provide the creative community with mentorship and a sense of belonging.
Canadian content creators need a podcast to call home. This is it.
On this episode, we're going to dig into a topic that comes up a lot. We hear it from creators we work with, and we've heard it from the guests we've featured on this podcast. Community.
Community means different things to different people. So today we're going to look at two different aspects, how to find support within your creative community and how to build a loyal community when it comes to your audience and your fans.
Joining us today are two people who are familiar with both sides of that coin. Jacob Weldon and Raquel Lynn are the driving force behind Reboot Rewind, a multi-part documentary series about the groundbreaking and beloved show that ran on YTV in the 90s. And having been a teenager during that time, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Jacob, Raquel, welcome to First Frame.
Hi.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Before we get into the community conversations, though, we'd love to hear your creative origin stories, how you discovered your shared love of Reboot specifically.
So when I was, let's say, 8 years old, so like the perfect age of anyone getting into this show, and pretty much what the demographic was made for, I think it was huge in Canada, huge in Vancouver. I fell in love with it. My mom was like really big on getting me all the toys and everything for it. And it was just something I just couldn't let go. And so I found myself online as a teenager, the age of the internet, of course. And I found myself in a little place called the Java Hut. And the Java Hut is a, or was, a online forum for all Reboot fans around the world. And that's where I met Jacob. I met Jacob online, and we were friends for quite some time before we actually met in person at a convention in Vancouver. Helped that he was local. I was cosplaying Dot Matrix. There was a bunch of the creators there, animators, voice actors. And so I was just like, I'm going to do this thing. Had no idea what I was getting myself into, but it changed my life. And that's how I met Jacob in person. Like, I was painted green and the rest is history.
I love that. I am a huge fan of the show as well. Like, I can remember watching it too. And I remember it being part of my first introductions, I think, to like some of the even terminology in the computer world, like the mainframe and things like that. So it's definitely a show that has a special place in my heart too, from growing up, NYTV and stuff like that. But Jacob, how about you? Can you tell us a little bit about your profession and your like your background?
So I work as a full-time film editor. And I would say that like my Reboot origin story and my film editing origin story kind of go hand in hand, because I really taught myself how to edit when I was like kind of 11, 12 years old on like Windows Movie Maker, editing together Reboot clips to music.
Fun.
This would have been right around the time that like YouTube was probably like in its first year. It was like brand new. So I was like posting things online and wanting to share those with people. And that's how I came across the Java Hut, as I was looking for places to share my video editing. And then, yeah, fast forward a couple of years after that, when we met at that convention, that's where we met Gavin Blair as well, who is one of sort of the key, well, he was one of the creators of Reboot, but he was sort of one of the key people that we interviewed for this project. And he was like the backbone for this whole story.
And a lifelong friendship ensues.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, before we get too far into the conversation, I'm wondering if one of you wants to first share with audience that maybe haven't heard of Reboot Rewind or whatnot, and tell us essentially what the docuseries that you've created is all about.
Reboot was a really key, like, core memory, I think, for, like, a lot of, like, Canadian millennial children, because it was on YTV all the time. That show was, like, YTV's baby. They seriously played it, like, 5 days a week, some days, like, three times a day kind of thing. So that show, whether you liked it or not, is kind of, like, ingrained into people's brains. And being lifelong fans of the show, we kind of noticed that there wasn't really a proper documentation of the history of the show, whether that be like in written form as a book or video form as a documentary. And so me and Raquel just kind of united and said, hey, we want to be that change. We want to see the history of that show told, because we think it's so fascinating just from what we know about it already, what we've heard from Gavin and other people. So we're like, yeah, we got to do this. Because we know there's lots of fans out there. There's an audience for it. So that was really important to us.
Now let's talk a little bit more about how this project came to life and some of the obstacles that you may have encountered along the way. Creating a documentary or docuseries for a pre-existing and very passionate fan base must come with its share of plenty of excitement, but I'm quite certain also some added pressure, right? So what was the initial response that you had from fans? Did you feel a responsibility to basically get it right? And how did that shape your approach to the project?
It was so important that we got it right, not only for us as fans, but also living and breathing the fan base, knowing the fans, and also just really wanting to do right by the history for Canadians. Like, that was such a big part of why we were doing this. Yes, we're fans, but it was like, why is nobody talking about this story? Like, they really made history, not just Canadian history, like world history. And so it was so important that we got it right. We also felt this, like, you know, we wanted to have this level of authenticity with the fans, because Reboot has a bit of a rocky history and people were really skeptical as to like who we were, what we were doing. We had to be so upfront as to, no, we are fans. Like, we are one of you. Like, we want to do this right. And that was also why we approached Gavin, you know, all these years ago to say, can we do this? Because we want your permission. So it was really important that we got the approval from him, because he would be such a driving force for the story. We really take pride in our work. And so we really wanted this to be like the best possible product for not only ourselves, but for the show, for the people who created it, for the fans, for the people who have no idea even what it is, right? We wanted it also to be something for people to learn who had no idea. And we were successful with that.
You definitely accomplished it, for sure.
Raquel, you mentioned authenticity. How do you keep that front and center throughout this project and throughout all your work?
Authenticity is kind of like one of those buzzwords these days. Like, everyone uses, it's like diversity or authenticity or whatever. But it really is important. And I think being transparent with your journey and who you are is a big part of it. The people who created the show were also so authentic with what they did. Like, they are master storytellers. They are creative. They are funny. They are emotional, amazing beings. And that came through the show. And then that came through to us as people who watch this show. And then we wanted to put that energy back out into the universe. And that's what ultimately our goal was to give something back.
We still need to really dig into community building. But first,
warning, incoming game.
It's time to play a little fun segment we like to call Pitch or Ditch.
So for this segment, we want to try something a little bit different. Reboot Rewind was a huge success, but if there were another show that you could turn into a documentary or series, what would it be?
I don't know if there's another show like Reboot that I could like pour my heart and soul into to create a documentary, but if I could kind of snap my fingers and will a documentary into existence about a beloved Canadian TV show, I would pick Uh-Oh. The game show with the kids getting slime dumped on their heads and stuff.
I remember the name. And as soon as you said slime, yeah. I'm like, yep.
I think it would be funny to like catch up with people, like kids who were contestants on that show, because now they'd be grown up and just like hear what the experience was like. I think it'd be cool to catch up with the people who are the hosts and the characters on the show, because they were like incredibly wild, wacky personalities.
All right.
Raquel, what about yourself?
Like Jacob said, I don't think I could ever do another talk. Like, it was so much work. But if I did, it would be on The X-Files.
Ooh.
Yes. That's a good show.
Here's my pitch. It's 1993. You've got a couple of FBI agents exploring the paranormal. And it wasn't supposed to be a hit, but it became this like worldwide phenomenon, right? And is it still popular? You bet it is, especially stuff from the 90s. You know, like the monster of the week formula. Hell yeah. Like people are definitely into that. Aliens, hotter than ever. I won't get into that, but people are so all over aliens these days. The Scully effect. If you don't know what that is, you better Google it, because it's what basically made, you know, a ton of women and little girls become scientists all around the world. I would love to talk about it just because of what it did for the Canadian film industry, what it did for the echoes around the world. And also, I know David Duchovny, so it would be a real easy sit down with him.
Are we going to see that pitch come across our desk at some point? Because that would be amazingly nostalgic. There's still reruns that come out with The X-Files. So I love that.
Okay, let's get to the heart of the conversation now. Community. As you said, this is something that comes up consistently with our guests on the show. So let's take a closer look at what it means to build a support system, both behind the scenes and out in the world. So community is what originally brought the two of you together, I can tell. What does community mean to you?
The biggest sort of community moment we had with the project was when we decided we wanted to do in-person theatrical screenings of the first two episodes of the doc. We had so many people that we interviewed showed up from it. People came from Kelowna and like all over the place to come to this screening, which in turn ended up being like a reunion for a lot of the people that worked on the show. There was people kind of seeing each other for the first time in 25 plus years or whatever. So that was really amazing to bring those people together. And we had an after party where people came up to us just like almost kind of like choking up just about how much they enjoyed the project. And like there were so many things that they learned, even though that they were there. And so that was really, really cool. And like, I'll never forget that. It was like one of the coolest things ever.
I guess this is part of the show where the emotion starts to come through, because again, never thought that I would do this ever. But to rewind a little bit, like Reboot's theme underneath all the viruses and the games and all that kind of stuff, it's all about your family. It's all about your newfound family, whether that be, you know, blood relatives or not. And the community has truly been a family. Like, you know, it sounds so cheesy and everyone's always going to say these kinds of things, but truly without the community, we wouldn't be here today. And going off of what Jacob was talking about with the screenings, people were in tears because A, they maybe were laughing so hard, or B, because it was just so emotional. Like, I cannot express enough gratitude to the fans and to the community. It's just the most special part of this whole thing.
It sounds like it's been a wild ride. And I love the fact that, you know, you've had that support around you, like from the community and the fans and all the rest. So it's a really cool example of how you can build that community around you as you're building up your project.
It must have felt very surreal. And obviously you both, this is the first time you've worked on a docuseries or documentary, and you obviously worked on a project that had a very established fan base already. So thinking of creators that are in art programs or creators who are out in the world that maybe are working on a project that doesn't have an established fan base yet, what do you think is at the core of getting people to sort of rally behind your vision? What makes people feel connected to your project?
There's a certain transparency that we all need to have as human beings. We all need to have a certain level of emotional intelligence and awareness to really pitch a project. And you're trying to make sure that someone is going to care about the thing that you're putting forth. So I really challenge people to not only like have, you know, have the heart, have the passion, don't give up on your goals and your dreams, but also, why do they care? Like, why do they care about what you're doing? And make them care, because you care and you have the reasons, but you have to like dig deep down and like give that to them, right? And I think that as soon as that shines through, then people will start following you and what you're doing.
So when it comes to building a creative or fan community, what do you think some of the biggest do's and don'ts are?
So social media was a big part of the project in terms of finding our audience. Because like I said, there's lots of Reboot fans out there, but it's kind of like a back of the brain thing for a lot of people. So you kind of got to like reawaken that for people. Be like, oh yeah, Reboot. There is a small dedicated core group of people that are like really gung-ho about Reboot like we are. But the thing about the Reboot community is it's very, they've needed a win for a while. Like there was a remake of Reboot that didn't really go over well with fans. And that a few years ago caused a lot of negativity. And we wanted to make sure we weren't tapping into that side of things. And that's why we made a point of not talking about that chapter of Reboot in the documentary, just because it causes just this dark swirl of fan anger. But to engage people, like right off the bat, we created social media accounts for Reboot Rewind, like outside of our own personal accounts. On TikTok, I was posting clips of Reboot just to see what would stick, get people to engage with it, get people, oh yeah, Reboot. And then after we had filmed our first 5 or 6 interviews out of what ended up being 50, I put together our first trailer and put that out on our social media. And I think, not to toot my own horn, but I think I did too good of a job with it, making it feel official, because right away there was a lot of questions of like, is this new Reboot? Is this coming from Mainframe? What is this?
Like, is this Netflix? Like,
where
is
can
this?
I watch this?
Yeah, it was like,
where do I tune in?
Yeah.
So a lot of our like early engagement with people was just like telling people what the project was, be like, no, this is a documentary. It's created by fans. It's not an official work, but it's about as close to being official without actually being official as you can get.
That's a good thing.
So as time went on, we had a whole schedule created actually just of like when we would post video clips, when we would post pictures, like behind the scenes pictures of us doing the interviews. So like there was a whole Google calendar for that. I forgot about that, but we were doing that for like a year.
We took we took selfies with all of our subjects. Yes. Like if we didn't take selfies with them, like we were so upset because, you know, we just would forget occasionally. The social media aspect was huge, but also that engagement, again, the buzzword of like making sure, like, what do people want to see? Like, you know, what are they going to share? What are they going to find funny, interesting? What are they going to comment on? You know, that sort of reality of it as well.
That's awesome. It sounds like you had a really wholesome plan of what you wanted to do, because I know we have seen creators that fly by the seat of their pants. Maybe they'll post here. Maybe they'll post here. Maybe they don't post at all.
I would also want to say too, just to add off of the, you know, the do's and don'ts. So my favorite character is Dot Matrix. I've grown up to be a business person through and through. And, you know, even if you're looking into like marketing 101, again, even just to pitch it to TELUS, it's like, what does an elevator pitch look like? What does that mean? What do people on social media want to see? How big are attention spans these days? Like all those little like technical things of Jacob and I would talk about this, especially with TikTok. It's like, if you're not catching people's attention in however many seconds, like they're moving on.
Yeah. And it sounds like with your calendar that you had, you were being consistent at keeping this sort of top of mind for people who were following along so that it didn't sort of fall by the wayside.
Yeah. Because like I said, Reboot is such a back of the brain memory for a lot of people. So we're doing as much as we can to push that to the front of people's brains for like a whole year while we were filming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One more thing I want to say about that too, is just as we're posting and sharing these things to social media and stuff, we also had people like Gavin kind of reposting these things and sharing them. And I feel like that kind of put his stamp of like approval on things. So all the fans that follow him and stuff kind of knew like, oh yeah, this is the real deal. And then even like ex-Mainframe employees, people who we wanted to get in contact with, would also see these things come up. So even when we were like, kind of thought we were like halfway or like getting close to the end of filming, we'd have more people kind of crop up, come out of the woodwork and be like, oh, hey, I heard you guys were doing a Reboot documentary. You know, like, how can I get involved kind of thing? And we'd add more people to the list that we wanted to interview.
I'd be like, Jacob, you want to do another interview? We're at 49 people. It's like, okay, well, we need this footage for IMAX stuff. Here we go.
Raquel, Jacob, this has been such a great conversation, hearing about your work, the community that brought you together, and how that same community showed up in your time of need to support the project.
But before we wrap up, Do either of you have any upcoming projects that you want to let our listeners and viewers know about?
My documentary days are long behind me at this stage of my life, but I will say that I continue to post geeky things. I'm still a cosplayer. If anyone wants to follow me on any social media platform, I go by Black Widow. So that's BlaqueWidowe. And yeah, the last one I made was a Lady Gaga costume. So if anyone wants to see that, you can go check that out. Otherwise, I'm just being my geeky self for years to come.
We love it.
Love it. And Jacob?
So I just recently released publicly to the world a short horror film that we made a couple years ago. It's been on the festival circuit for a couple years and done really, really well. So we're excited about it. The movie's called Seed. It's pretty R-rated. We're kind of surprised that YouTube even let it be uploaded. So don't watch it at work. Watch it at home and not with children. But I'm really proud of it.
Thanks for the disclaimer.
Me and the crew had a lot of fun doing it. When I watch it now that it's been a while since we filmed it, I'm like, why did anyone want to make this movie with me? Because it gets kind of crazy.
But it won so many awards.
But it won awards. Yeah. So I feel validated for the craziness, I guess. I primarily post about my film and creative endeavors on Instagram. So on there, I'm at Jacob B. Weldon. And yeah, please check out Seed if you like horror movies.
And that is so exciting. I'm quite certain our viewers and listeners will be, those that are into the horror genre will be checking that out. And Raquel will definitely be following you to see all of the costumes that you're going to be coming up with as well. I want to thank you both so much for joining us and sharing your experiences creating Reboot Rewind with all of us here on First Spring.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
Well, Dan, seeing as how much the theme of community has come up on our podcast so far this season, I'm really interested to know what you think about this episode and what you think resonated the most with our listeners.
I think 100% authenticity and passion. As Raquel was talking about, making sure you're authentic, you're sticking with the reason why you want to bring this story to life, really showcasing the passion that they had for the show helped to really drive community support behind the project. Even when they were talking about having people jump in and, you know, trying to help with the D1
right.
system that they were looking for, et cetera. So just, you know, being authentic, talking about the challenges, talking about why you want to create this project and really staying true to your why.
Oh, 100%. I really pulled away from this episode is the fact that you should be engaging your community as early on as possible. So don't wait until the production's done and you're ready to start screening it or shopping it around to film festivals. Get them engaged. Give them that, you know, that sneak peek. Give them the look behind the curtain before the production's done. It really will help start to build that community even before you have your final product.
Absolutely. That's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single episode. And be sure to tune in next time when we're going to tackle one of the most important topics of the season, helping creators manage their mental health.
If you'd like to learn more about how Tell a Story Hive can help you along your content creation journey, you can check out storyhive.com. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger, and that's a wrap.